Just before the meeting starts, I'd just like to update members. As you can see, unfortunately, Father Anthony isn't with us again this evening to do prayers. He's currently undergoing treatment for an underlying cancer problem, so he's not very well. So I just wanted members to be aware of the situation that he's in, which is why he's not here this evening. And I'd just like to ask members just to take 30 seconds just to sort of, you know, reflect on how fortunate we are to be here when other people can't be. Thank you. Are we reorganising the room? Interesting. Okay. Right. Can I please welcome fellow members, honorary aldermen, ladies and gentlemen, to this meeting of the council? Can we please all ensure our mobile phones are switched off? Can I just check that all councillors have a copy of the agenda papers? Thank you. I'll now ask the Interim Chief Executive to report on the emergency evacuation procedures.
Thank you, Chairman. If the alarm sounds, it is a proper alarm. We aren't expecting a test this evening, so please evacuate the chamber through the nearest available fire exit. There is one to the front of the chamber and one to the rear, and then we congregate in the car park. Thank you.
Agenda item two is apologies for absence. Do you have apologies, please, Simon?
You've received apologies for absence from councillors Paul Andrews, Di Keel, Elizabeth Shields, Jenna Dean and Sanderson.
Thank you. Councillor Clark.
Apologies from Joy Andrews. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Agenda item three is public question time. There are no public questions. So I'll move to item four, which is the minutes. Firstly, the minutes of the ordinary meeting of the council held on the 22nd of February 2018. And I'll take those first because then we have to deal with the extraordinary minutes of the extraordinary meeting. I'd like on the minutes of the 22nd of February, at the pre-meeting there's a question raised concerning a recollection of additional question and answer at the end of questions on notice. We've not been able to clear that yet, but we will, and I would move separately that the relevant wording, if it's found to be necessary, and the recollection is correct, will be included in the minutes. If that's all right with everybody. Councillor Clark.
Two things, Chair. I think those words, whatever they are, if they are, I think that covers all bases, probably ought to come back to full council rather than not be seen. Because if they go into the minutes and we haven't got the minutes with us, then we don't see them. The second point, and I'm sorry for springing this on you, Chair, because I've only just spotted it, but there was a question from Mr. Tucker, a supplementary question, and I may have missed it, but I don't recall seeing the supplementary answer to his supplementary question. Now, if he got it, then that's fine, but it's not minuted here, even if it is even if he did get it. It leaves it sort of a bit up in the air. I'll still vote for the minutes as they are.
Yeah, just one second, Councillor. I thought we had it covered. I'm just checking. I think it's covered on page 15 of the... On page 15 of the minutes, I think. Thank you. Thank you. But thank you, Councillor Clark. Yeah. Okay, so we'll take the point on your... the recollection, and I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of the 22nd of February be approved. Seconded, Councillor Ives. Can we all vote on that, please?
That's carried unanimously.
Thank you, Simon. And now moving on to the minutes of the extraordinary meeting of the Council held on the 15th of March 2018. I'd like to move those minutes. I'd have a seconder. Councillor Ives, thank you. And can we please vote on those?
That's 23 votes for and one abstention.
Thank you. That is carried. Moving on to agenda item 5, urgent business. There are no items of urgent business. Moving on to agenda item 6, declarations of interest. For the sake of efficiency, we will note the members of this council are also members of North Yorkshire County Council, to save us having to run round the room. That will be noted automatically. Has anybody else got any interest to declare? Good, thank you. So, we'll move on to agenda item 7, announcements. I'd like to publicly take the opportunity to thank all the members of our staff and all the members of the staff of partner organisations for the efforts that have been taken in recent times to prevent flooding in parts of this district that, but for their action, would have caused far more problems than have been caused. In the past, we've thanked them many times for the efforts they put in when we've been having problems, but it's a real pleasure to be able to thank them for the proactiveness in putting things in place so that the problems didn't occur. So on behalf of all of us, I'd just like to thank all members of RDC involved and indeed all members of our partner organisations who got the pumps out early and minimised the problem completely. I think when we get situations like this, it is only right and proper that we give pats on the back where pats on the back are merited. So hopefully we're over the flooding problems for this year, let's hope. But a splendid job done by everybody, so thank you all. That's the only announcement I've got to make. So agenda item 8, members' questions on notice. I have a member's question on notice. Councillor Clark, would you please like to ask your question?
Thank you, Chair. I didn't realise we'd already got so late in the year we could be confident that we wouldn't have another dose of rain in the next 8 months, but I'm quite happy with your judgment on these things. To the Chair of PNR, as Chair of Overview and Scrutiny, I have been requested to ask you to update the Council on the progress of the Constitution Working Party, in particular reference to the Overview and Scrutiny Report on meeting start times, etc. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Ives, would you like to respond to that?
Thank you, Councillor Clark. So the report relating to the start time of meetings will be considered at the next ordinary meeting of the Constitution Working Party.
Thank you, Councillor Ives. Supplementary question, Councillor Clark, if you'd like one.
I thank Councillor Ives for his helpful contribution, giving us some, giving Council clear guidance as to when this working party is likely to meet. I did advise the Scrutiny Committee that it may be, and I quote, kicked into the long grass and fought off all requests as to where that statement had come from. And I think the Scrutiny Committee clearly knows where the meadow is on the basis that what's happening to it. And I said, nothing to do with me. But what's going to it? Nothing to do with me. Now, on that basis, this question was really to find out when it was going to be looked at. I personally, and I think the Liberal group, opposed this approach to times and review. But it was a Scrutiny Committee job under the chair of Di Keill, and it seems a little unfair, and for someone who quite happily see it sink, I think to not look at it at all, it would be far more businesslike under your chairmanship as of the working party that you chair to put a date on it or give some guidance rather than kicking the can down the road, kicking it into the long grass or whatever this happens to be. Could you give Council, and particularly those members of the Scrutiny Committee who are wanting to know, and I wasn't one of them, but I think it would be fair that they should know when it was or when you're hoping to do it. Please, Chair of Policy, could you do that? I realise how entertaining those scrutiny, those constitution working parties are, because I was at the last one. Could you give us an answer, please?
Councillor Ives.
Thank you. I think it was in December last year that this council agreed the schedule of meetings for the ensuing year. So I asked members to refer to that schedule, and you will note that no meetings of the Constitution Working Party are scheduled for the next year.
Thank you, Councillor Ives.
Through you, Chair. Thank you most for having such a helpful reply.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. So, now going to move on to Agenda Item 9, to consider for approval the recommendations in respect of the following Part B committee items. Firstly, the Policy and Resources Committee of the 15th of March, the Public Service Hub for Rydale, on page 23, the recommendation of your minutes. I'd just like to remind members that this is a topic that we have had around this table for some time, so it's had lots of debate, discussion and interest in the past, and also that the at the Policy and Resources Committee on this, the vote was 8-4 with one abstention and nobody against. Just to set the scene for people, Councillor Ives, would you briefly like to introduce this recommendation?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this item was considered by the Policy and Resources Committee and received cross-party support. As you referenced, we have been discussing this item for several years now, and I think that the business case is clear why we are supporting this recommendation. So this building, Rydale House, needs significant investment that runs into millions of pounds. And so the question is, do we spend millions of pounds on this building, which is far too big to us, costs an absolute fortune to run and has its limitations, or do we take a step back and look at all the proposals available? What we have, the recommendation from the Policy and Resources Committee proposes that we create a smaller, more efficient, more modern building and release this site for affordable housing. So there is an acute need for affordable housing in the district, and this council will be able to advance that aim. The building of a new site for Rydale District Council will allow us to work collaboratively across the public sector. We aren't proposing to build just a new office for Rydale District Council, but a public sector hub. So it means that we can work with the DWP, for example, who have expressed interest. So they face a lot of the same issues that we do. And so by working together, that is once again going to create more efficiencies. And so not only will we be sharing the cost of the place, but working smarter. The proposal also outlines the need for car parking strategy, and I think we can all relate to our own wards where there is a need to review car parking provision, and so finally we're going to get down to business and do a car parking strategy, especially if we're looking to build on Wentworth Street car parkers. We'll need to ensure that provision remains in Moulton, but the need is much greater than that, and so that's why it's looking across the entire district. So a lot of advantages from this proposal, and I must emphasise it's not this council going out spending loads of taxpayers' money to create this luxury building. Instead, we're creating a smaller building that's more efficient, leaner, works across the public sector, and we're disposing of a site that requires significant investment and is no longer fit for purpose. I'll be happy to take any questions, Mr Chairman.
Are there any questions for Councillor Ives? Councillor Clark.
I look forward to a helpful reply, Chair. I believe Councillor Ives has just said that we're talking about a car parking strategy. Did he mean car parking strategy, or is it a strategy, as it says in the paperwork, for car parks? Because if it's car parks, that's not the same, because it doesn't include on-street car parking, which is something we could look at. So, and the second part to my question is that Rydale is putting in a mere 75,000 into this car park in strategy. How much is North Yorkshire putting into it?
Councillor Ives.
So, in answer to your question, of course, it has to be both on-street and off-street car parking, because what we could not do is just look at the car parks. And so, for example, Norton is a really good example where you've got a lot of on-street car parking provision, but we've also got a car park, and so they both have to be considered side by side. So it will be a parking strategy across the district. In answer to your question about North Yorkshire, I am not aware that they are contributing towards the strategy, and that's something we perhaps can take up offline.
Thank you, Councillor Ives. Councillor Potter, question?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Well, first of all, referring to that, could we ensure, please, that in the recommendation that the wording is then therefore changed to that a car parking strategy rather than a car park strategy? So, as Councillor Clark says, that is quite clearly a different beast entirely. Going on to the small two, the £275,000 of this allocation to be used, or be used to support the development of a scheme on the site of the current community house. Now, I note that there is a preferred option to get rid of community house that is a relatively new building in good condition with quite clearly good usage at the moment. So does this part of the recommendation prejudge when it says to support the development of a scheme on the site of rather than at the current community house?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Podder. Councillor Ives.
So the first question, which was whether we could move an amendment, absolutely, and I think that amendment will be so uncontroversial, perhaps we can do it by the consent of this council, i.e. we do not need a vote on that. If council consents, you can change the recommendation accordingly. For the second part of the question, I think that will be dependent upon the detailed design stage. What we cannot do is detailed designs without knowing exactly which partners are coming in with us, but that's why we need to do a commitment this evening. So whilst, you know, we've expressed a key intention as to where the site of that building will be and what it will look like, I think any detailed designs need to take place at a stage in the future.
Thank you, Councillor Ives. If I can just pick up on, before this gets any more complicated from where I'm sat, that a car parking strategy for Rydale seems to me to be a lots of heads nodding round the room as we went. Can we just please take that as an amendment now? Yeah. Sorry. Okay, sorry, I am informed differently, so yes, I'm getting ahead of myself now, there's a surprise. So we'll come back to that. Sorry, questions, let's turn back to questions. Councillor Potter.
Yes, could I just follow up what Councillor Ives said, and just to reinforce the point that this has not been prejudged, providing that is merely a design stage and then coming to a decision, the fact that it says development of a scheme on the site of the current community house doesn't mean it's been prejudged. Thank you.
I'd respond, Councillor Ives.
That is correct. It's not prejudging, and so not ruling in or ruling out anything, but obviously you can see what the intention is, where the building will be built and the direction of travel, but it would be wrong to do the detailed design at this stage before we've got a decision and we know what exactly what partners are coming in with us.
Any further questions? In which case... Sorry. Councillor Farnell, sorry.
Thank you. Can I ask how much can the Interim Chief Executive spend on essential repairs to the building in any event that is in relation to Little Four, please?
So under our delegated scheme of spend, the Chief Executive can spend up to £25,000.
Thank you. Questions? Yeah, right. In which case, Councillor Ives, would you like to move the recommendation?
Thank you. So I think I've already outlined this, so I'm not... So I move it. Yeah, so I think I've already outlined it. I'm not a fan of my own voice, believe it or not, so we'll leave it there.
Councillor Arnold, anything you'd like to add? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I have two amendments that I'd like to move, but obviously one at a time. Listening intently to Councillor Ives when he was answering questions, or when in this case he wasn't answering a question, he used the phrase that on this site we'd have affordable housing. But unfortunately the words here in front of us do not say affordable housing, it says feasibility study for housing. And I'd like to agree with Councillor Ives for the second time this evening when he said car parking. I agreed with that. And when he said affordable housing, I agree with that. So I'd like to move an amendment that we add the word feasibility studies for affordable housing. And if I had a slip here, but there don't seem to be any, I could write affordable down on it and bring it up. I have one.
Sorry, Councillor Ives.
Oh, no, we'd like a vote on that, but I'm quite happy to agree it if provided it's moved as a Liberal amendment. We're on a roll now, Chair. This. Primarily, Chair. Primarily when he said it earlier, and I was listening most intently to every phrase and intonation that he used. He said nothing about primarily at all. So the amendment is not primarily.
Right. Can we have the amendment then, please, Council? Amendment suggested, please, Councillor Clark.
Sorry, the doctor's handwriting, so you may not be able to read it.
Take it down the Thames, they'll help.
So we still haven't got the wording for the for that one, have we?
No. I think that one.
Yeah. A couple of problems, as I said. So where does this fit in? Sorry.
So this is over the page. This is.
So I have one amendment in front of me which I'm going to deal with, and that is, as I understand it, on point little 7, that the second sentence would read, support development of detailed feasibility studies for housing development. Hang on, I've lost myself.
For a
form. But for housing development.
Affordable housing development.
For feasibility study, sorry, Councillor, feasibility studies for affordable housing development of the Rydale House site. So that would just be inserted into the second sentence.
John has to speak to that now.
So there's the amendment. Have we got a seconder for that amendment, please? Yes, it's our Councillor Thornton. Sorry, you're quite right.
Next thing is for John to speak to you, yes.
Yeah.
Would you like to speak to your amendment, Councillor Clark?
Primarily, I would, Chair. This amendment is asking for a feasibility study for affordable housing. And for the chair of P&R, who doesn't prejudge issues, why is he adding in his own mind, if nothing else at this point, primarily? Because if the feasibility study for affordable finds that it is not possible, and there has to be some housing that is available for the good burghers of Ascot or Esher or wherever, then that would be what the feasibility study showed. But let's not aim low. Let's aim to deliver as many affordable houses as is possible. And one of the problems this council has had, it said, and quite rightly, the developers are doing this and the developers are doing that. But what a superb opportunity here for Rydale Council to show everybody that we can do affordable housing right across the board. Now, all it is asking for is a feasibility study to try and achieve that. Not diluted down, but trying to get to that point. And I'm taking the words of Councillor Ives, who said affordable housing on this site. He added the word affordable in to what it says here. So all I've done is helped him by amending the wording on here to do it. I don't see what the problem is, because if there is feasibility study comes back and says it can't, then we can argue it or not, as the case may be. But we should at least be aiming to achieve that, not aiming to nearly achieve it. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Thornton, a second.
Thank you, Chair. I reserve my right.
So, would anybody like to speak for or against the amendment? Councillor Cowling, I have you, then Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I want to speak against this amendment. Could I really urge some caution on this? The clue is in the wording there. It says a feasibility study. The feasibility study will come back and it will tell you what is feasible, what is possible, whether affordable housing can go on there or not, whether we need a mix, whether we need some social housing. I didn't mean social housing, I meant aftercare, not aftercare. Extra care, thank you for the word. It will probably come back and tell us what we need in Rydale and what is going to be best, what works best on that site. Might even be a mix of open market housing, affordable housing, aftercare housing. Could be all sorts on it. I think to limit that feasibility study at this stage would be really, really dangerous thing to do.
Thank you, Councillor Cowling. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. This council hasn't exactly got the best track record on affordables, and the hub for building houses is in Moulton and Norton, and this is where the greatest need is, and accessibility to affordable housing is not at a high rate at the moment, and we do have numbers and we do have people who need those houses. We also have people who can't afford mortgages and they can't afford to buy houses on the open market. This is one way of where we can address what we have not achieved to do. At the Planning Committee, on many occasions, we cannot get our preferred allocation because the builders keep coming back and tell us that it is not affordable. So we always bow down to the builders and we always say, well, we'll take less affordables. So if Rydale wants to have a commitment on affordables, and if Rydale wants to downsize and utilise this site, surely affordables is the way. It's what's needed, it's what our residents want. Moulton and Norton is the hub. This is where everyone is coming who want to work, and it's an ideal opportunity for us to actually do this and not look at the feasibility and say, well, is it possible, is it not possible? We need to be a council that can make it happen. We are the masters of our own destiny, and if we want affordables on this site, we should put our hands up and say, we need the affordables. We're being told by government we're missing our figures, we aren't hitting what we're supposed to do, and we've got an ideal opportunity. So why can't we have affordables on this site?
Thank you, Councillor Burr. Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I half agree with the proposal and I half disagree with the proposal. We are looking for a feasibility study which will give us all the answers to the questions being posed in this amendment. You can't do anything until you've got the information that you require to make the decision. We are once again putting the house before the hedge to try and then asking it to jump over when it's already got past. It's a little bit like trying to run the Grand National and starting halfway around and not jumping over hedges. It's going to be messy, to say the least. Councillor Burr's point, we don't need a feasibility study. Yes, we do need this feasibility study. That's why we're asking to do it. We need the answers from the feasibility. And can I, Chairman, also suggest that this feasibility study takes in an opportunity to contact and talk with housing associations on that very point? Would you be interested in coming in and helping us to achieve that? Because they're the ones that can get the funding for this, not us, to put absolute all affordables up. We can't afford it without putting some money in. We haven't got the money to put in to make it all affordable on this particular site, Chairman. So I won't be voting in favour of this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Raper. Councillor Potter, I think I saw you indicate.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Well, there's some interesting little arguments going around here. Councillor Raper saying prejudging a feasibility study and that we need a feasibility study. So we have to pay for a feasibility study. How much is that going to cost? Now, if councillors would care to look at page 63 of our agenda, there are some very nice figures there that say the forecast for 2017-18 for number of affordable homes delivered is 8. 8. For the whole of Rydale, it is 8. What we have set as a target is 75, and that is 35% of the 200 additional homes target. We have a target, apparently. Yeah, I'm getting arguments from my left because somebody's been doing the maths, but never mind. I'm just reading it out. So we have a target of 200 additional homes. We'd like to change that to 75, and we're looking at delivering 8. Could I point out that my feasibility study, on the basis of those figures, say we desperately need, not we in here, those people out there that need houses, that can't afford to buy them themselves, and are probably or very likely struggling with the rents as they stand at the moment. They need the housing. Their children need the housing to stop them being driven out of the area. And here we have the ideal opportunity of a piece of land that we own, and people are arguing about a feasibility study. Councillor Cowling said, what we need in Rydale is what we've got to look at. Well, page 63 says exactly that, what we need in Rydale. And I'm sure most members here will be aware of, I think it's called the viability study that developers like to produce, where they talk about the selling price of the house, which they fix at the lowest possible price when they first start selling them. They talk about they bump up the price of the land that they purchased, and therefore giving them a nice ratio that says the viability study here says, oh, we can't afford to build all these affordable homes. And exactly as Councillor Burr has said, we then struggle to build these affordable homes because somebody's managed to wriggle out of it. So kindly look at the evidence. Never mind paying for feasibility studies. It's sitting here on our agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Potter. Okay, before we move to the vote on the amendment, Councillor Clark, would you like to say anything? Councillor Thornton, you reserved your right if you'd like to speak.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like first to thank Councillor Potter for stealing all my thunder. But we have repeatedly sort of lamented the lack of affordable housing in this area. There is a need to get children out of the house. There is a need for workers on low income to live in the area. We rely on nurses, doctors, policemen, and people who don't earn enough to pay off a mortgage to be local. We have an affordable ratio that's gone from 3.6 times annual income 8.8 times annual income. We have gross earnings which are the lowest in Yorkshire and Humberside. So how people can, at the same time as talking about affordable housing and the lack of it and the disinclination to provide it, how people can chuckle contentedly, I fail to understand. We need affordable housing for Rydale, and we need plenty of it. This gives us the opportunity. It's not a laughing matter, and we shall get on and do it as best we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Thornton. Right, I'm going to move to the vote on the amendment. Councillor Clark.
Sorry, Chair, I should have shouted, but I prefer to be low-key. It's more my natural style. Well, here we go. We are a housing authority, and we believe in a percentage of affordable housing as a planning authority, but we don't deliver it. We have, as been said, a target of affordable housing, and we don't achieve it. So why are we not aiming high? Why do we not go to see what we can achieve. And I don't understand Councillor Cowling's logic, but then Councillor Cowling is one of these people, Chair, who sort of considers that a glass is half empty rather than trying to work on the basis of that we are here, it being full. Not half full, full. Councillor Raper confused me a little. I was all right when he said he half agreed and half disagreed, and I could live with that. I thought that was more than I was expecting. But then when he got round to horses and hedges and things being messy, presumed on top of the hedge, it was a little tricky for me to understand exactly where he was going. But then he said one thing that I thought, and I fear I'm getting to my point of being sort of more than 0.5% in agreement with him. He said we could talk to the Housing Association. What a silly idea that would be. Because the Housing Association, usually pretty desperately short of land, we could work with them, and they might even pay for a feasibility study so that we could do some for sale affordable, they could do social housing for rent affordable, and the whole lot could be affordable. If that doesn't work, we've still got the site, and we can still do it. But let's not give in before we start. And the percentages, yes, I was gently mocking Councillor Potter on the basis that we have a target of 35% of 200, and that is, I think, 70 and not 75, but 75 it says, so that must be near enough. Maybe those five ought to be the market ones and the 70 affordable. Come on, stand up for the people in Rydale. The young people in Rydale are desperate for affordable housing. It is not here in Rydale, and here is an opportunity for you to do something that will help with that problem. And a single market house in Rydale, extra, is absolutely no use to the young people of Rydale, because there's very, very few on the 40, 50,000 and upwards pay bracket that you need to be on to take out a mortgage to make it work. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Before I move to the vote, Councillor Ives, as the for the original, as the proposed original motion, we'd like to say anything before we move to the vote.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. So I think what this amendment sums up is Councillor Clark's way of putting ideology in the way in the way of progress. So what we have got is a feasibility study that is going to determine whether we can provide affordable housing on this site and to what extent, and if it's 100% affordable housing, fantastic, that is our aim, but that's not necessarily going to be deliverable. So the aim of the feasibility study is to determine how much affordable we can provide and then how much also needs alternative housing options on there. Now, what Councillor Clark's proposing is a feasibility study which says, yes, we can do all affordable, or no, we can't. Now, if you have a situation where 80% can be affordable and 20% needs to be market-led, if we do this amendment, the feasibility study won't be able to tell us that because it's telling us whether it's all or nothing. So Councillor Clark's changing this from a flexible approach to one that's binary. And that's why I said Councillor Clark is putting ideology in the way of progress, because he simply wants everything to be affordable. Indeed, I remember him moving similar amendments to the local plan where he wanted wholly affordable housing. But sometimes it's better to have some market-led housing which enables a greater amount of affordable housing than no housing at all. Councillor Clark also mentioned about younger people trying to get on the property ladder. And, you know, I still class myself as a younger person. I know I may have aged about 50 years being on this council. But, you know, and I know a lot of younger people as well, and it is absolutely a huge issue in Rydale. But you do not have to be on £40,000 or £50,000 to get a house. I know that from personal experience. Indeed, when I first got my house in Rydale, I think I was on about £15,000 a year back when I was 18. So you do not need to be on those big earnings. And what wasn't around then, which is around now, is the government new buy scheme, which is enabling more younger people than ever to get a step on the housing ladder. I've got many friends, actually, who have taken advantage of that scheme, and that is being delivered through market-led housing. So I do not think you should categorise. It's almost as though you're demonising people who go for market-led housing, Councillor Clark, with your approach. A combination is needed for people who actually do benefit from market-led housing, but also we need to make provision for those who are affordable. To make it binary is the wrong approach. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Right, I'm going to move to the vote on the amendment, which is that on subset 7, the amendment reads the development of detailed feasibility studies for affordable housing on the Rydell House site. All those in, can please vote on that amendment.
Five votes for and 19 votes against.
Okay, so that amendment is defeated. Have we got it on the screens? Thank you for the cue. Councillor Ives.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move an amendment which is to move Little 4 from the recommendation.
Thank you. So we now have an amendment proposed by Councillor Ives and seconded by Councillor Steve Arnold that on the recommendation, subset 4 is removed from the recommendation. We'd like to speak to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the purpose of this recommendation is to acknowledge that spending £50,000 of taxpayers' money on a building that may no longer be around in 2 years is not best value. And whilst it says something about the state of this building that such investment is considered necessary, ultimately, on this occasion, I don't believe it to be good value. Of course, you know, we've got to comply with health and safety legislation, and if it comes to it, essential repairs may be necessary to ensure the protection of the workforce, so it won't rule that out. But what this £50,000 is for is, I quote, improvements, and I don't think we should be improving, we should be maintaining at this time when we are looking to potentially demolish the building in 4 years' time. So it's just reflecting on what was passed at the Policy and Resources Committee and hopefully revising that, and that's why we have a committee system.
Councillor Arnold, anything you'd like to say at this stage?
Yeah, I think I'm just concerned that essential repairs are done, because I know what it was like this winter and I know what the staff had to put up with this winter. So as long as the essential repairs are carried out, I'm quite happy to support this.
Thank you. I think we've already covered essential repairs in an earlier question. I'm going to open this up to Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I wasn't at PNR when this was voted on, and I understand it was unanimous, so I'm just struggling to... No, not unanimous, but... So I'm struggling to know why this amendment has been put. I think what we've got to think is if we had have invested a little bit more in Rydell House over these many years, we maybe wouldn't have been in this position now. But we are where we are, so we've got to move on. And I've always believed that the people who work for an organisation are the key to that business. And we come into Rydell House, we flit in and out, and we don't work behind the scenes. In totality, I was going to speak to the whole recommendation, but now we're actually having it in bite size. It suits me absolutely fine. And this was one particular item that I was actually going to support, because I do believe that it's important to actually spend on fundamental things to make our team work better and have a harmonious working environment. As I say, for us, we come in and out, we attend a few meetings, but these guys work, you know, often long hours, and they work a lot of time in this building. So I'm actually really, really disappointed because probably out of the whole suite of recommendations, it was one of them that I was going to support. I'm disappointed that we feel that we actually can't spend some money to make, obviously, our staff happier in the workplace, but also it will make them more productive. And we all have seen, you know, the powder down for the ants and the bad heating system and all stuff like that. And I'm sure Councillor Farnell will agree with me as staff champion. You know, our team, they need better working conditions. And in the scheme of it, £50,000 is something that I think we owe to our team. So I won't be supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Burr. Anybody else wish to speak to the amendment? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. P&R had a question, and it was, how on earth has this been done as quickly as this without doing it thoroughly? And I came away still wondering the same question. And now when we've had the Chair of P&R proposing this, and then when we set off and started debating and asking questions, then suddenly jamming the handbrake on and going, ah, yes, but not number four. Now, that's interesting, because he's now proposing that we take out 50,000 out of this overall project that I think you yourself, Chair, said earlier we debated time and time again, and we all knew what it was all about. So a week ago we didn't take us more than 2 minutes to look at it because it was all clear and we all agreed it, and that was that, and move on. When we looked at it as a group, we'd made a massive amendment to number four. We'd crossed out the word improvements. And if I'd had the energy, I'd have probably written in the word repairs. So if we'd moved an amendment, we'd have crossed out improvements and gone along with Councillor Arnold with repairs. Because I don't think, and some of us were daft enough to oppose this spending of, you know, a couple of hundred thousand in on this room, which is hardly used in terms of employees here, to make it nice and comfortable for the councillors, and 50,000 on the microphones, etc. So we actually think that some of the spending in this building has been the wrong spending in the past. But to have spent 50,000 or 25,000, we don't know what the timescale is, on repairs, would be sensible. To do it on improvements, not defined, is bordering on the barmy. So on that basis, we will be supporting the amendment, but we will be watching and listening as to whether or not the essential repairs, along with Councillor Arnold, that need to be done, is done in terms of what the staff need. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Anybody else wish to speak? Councillor Farnell.
Thank you. As staff champion, I'm not really very happy or comfortable with this amendment. Our staff work very hard and in an environment that isn't suitable for this day and age. We have not put the money into the building in many a moon, which has been, in my opinion, irresponsible. I would like to think that essential repairs that need to be made will be made, and I really do think we need to have a guarantee that will be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Farnell. Before I move to the vote, we'd like to say anything as the mover, Councillor Ives.
Thank you. So the current recommendation is that we have a £50,000 budget to improve Rydale House. Now, £50,000 won't really scratch the surface. We need to spend several million pounds to get this building to where it needs to be. Hence the reason why we're looking to demolish the place and build a smaller, leaner, more efficient building elsewhere. But what we are saying, and you know, by taking out this £50,000, which isn't going to make a dent, we will absolutely continue the essential repairs. So the Chief Executive has a delegated authority to make spend money on essential repairs, and is also responsible for ensuring the health and safety and well-being of the workforce, and that will continue. And of course we will maintain and uphold those responsibilities. But to spend £50,000 improving something and installing new fittings, etc., when you're just going to demolish it in 2 years' time, is not a good use of taxpayers' money. £50,000 is a considerable sum, and it is 1% of the council tax preset. So it's getting that balance right, and that's why, like I said, what we can't lose track of is, in hopefully in 2 years' time, we'll have a new building that's, like I said, really efficient, works well, we're working alongside others, and we'll be out of this place, and it will be history. So let's not lose sight of what the long term is on the next 2 years. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Ice. Right, I'm going to move to vote on the amendment. The amendment is very simple, that subset 4 is removed from the recommendation.
That's 22 votes for and 2 votes against.
Thank you. So that amendment is carried. I'm going to return to the original motion now, unless we have any further amendments. Councillor Burr. I'd like to do any other amendments first before we move into the
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I've just got the amendment about that. I'll take it.
I think if it's the one I'm expecting, Councillor Potter, I think you can just read it, please, under these circumstances.
In paragraph 2, little 5, or little V, to amend wording to that a car parking strategy, etc.
Yes, please, can we all have just move straight to the vote on that?
Point out that this is a precedent that you now no longer need amendments in writing, and that we can just say them.
I think, in the circumstances, Councillor Clark.
Get off.
I'm going to, for the sake of completeness, I'm going to take a vote. Can we please vote on that amendment?
Twenty-three votes for, no votes against, one abstention.
Okay, so that is carried. Right, okay, so if there are no more amendments, I'm going to return to the original debate on the what is now the substantive motion. Councillor Burr.
Thank you very much, Chairman. As I said, I've got no amendments. I wasn't at Policy and Resources, and I just want to make a general comment about the recommendation to Council in totality. Yes, it has been said that we have bandied this about a lot, but we've never really had an absolute consensus of exactly how it's going to work. And the leading groups obviously have a consensus, but it's not what everybody wants. So, whereas I would have liked to have had this in itemised bite sites where we could have voted for one and another, unfortunately, because at PNR that's the way they do it, they bulk it all up and we don't really sort of say too much, then it's all in one recommendation. So vacating RDC, yes, and 2.5 million to create a hub at Wentworth Street. In principle, I completely agree to downsize, but I've got a worry about developing this site, and I've also got a huge worry about increased traffic issues in Malton. We've got massive traffic issues, and if we develop the top car park and use the hub, then it is actually going to exacerbate around that area. Item 2275 allocation to use this, I'm not sure that that's the best use of money, and I have got concerns about community house, whether we're going to flatten it, expand it, develop it. I'm not really sure what we're going to do. On item 3, I'm not really sure if a public estate is actually what is best for Moulton residents. It's got to be something for residents' best interest, and if we are thinking about completely utilising this site here and building, again, I'm worried about the traffic, I'm worried about the congestion, I'm worried about the air pollution, and I'm worried about the chaos. Spending 50k, well, we've talked about that, and obviously you're not deciding to spend the 50k. The car parking strategy, I think it's a very, very vague statement, and I'm thinking, well, are we thinking about charging for Norton Car Park now? Is this something that's been mooted? Is that what we're going to do? But I personally believe that because Moulton has the railway line, and because the car parking strategy is going to affect Moulton and Norton, I think that we really need to focus on Moulton and Norton's unique placement of this huge thing that is going to come. Whereas I'm all for more trains coming into Moulton and people getting about, completely agree with that. But what I don't agree with is that we should have a car parking strategy that fits all. I think we need to work with the Milton Rooms, but one thing I don't agree with, I fundamentally don't agree with, is us having many, many meetings in the middle of Moulton that cannot cope with more traffic. But how many more times do you want people to say about the traffic problems in Moulton and Norton? And I think that we've discussed about the feasibility of affordable houses on this site, and it is my passion to have more affordables in Moulton if we do actually sell this site. So that is why I won't be agreeing with this recommendation to council.
LeBeur. Anybody else? In which case, before we move to the vote, Councillor Ives, would you like to speak?
Thank you. Just to quickly come back to Councillor Burr, I found that speech quite contradictory, in that we're saying, oh, we want more affordable housing in Moulton Town Centre, but, oh, we don't want any more traffic in Moulton Town Centre. You can't have your cake and eat it. Now, just to recap where we are, Mr Chairman, so tonight we've got a proposal that has been several years in the making and has gone through detailed scrutiny and review, and hopefully it is a proposal that will take this council into the future. So we're being forward thinking, we're being modern, and we're changing the way we work. So it's a very positive thing, and I hope that we continue with the consensus achieved at the Policy and Resources Committee and pass it resoundingly tonight, Mr Chairman.
Okay, so I'm going to move to the vote now on the substantive motion, which removes subset 4, adds ing into at the end of park in subset 5, and they're the changes. So could please move to the vote. Sorry.
Would it be possible, Chair, to take individual votes?
No.
You said that without moving your lips, Chair.
Sorry.
Absolutely. We'll take the word of Councillor Ives.
Sorry, I was speaking, Councillor Clark. The decision of the Chair, we're taking this as it stands on the agenda. Please take the vote on this proposal, please.
18 votes for, 5 votes against, and 1 abstention.
So that motion is carried. Recommendation is carried. Thank you. Okay. So, moving on to the next item, which you have as minute 33, on page 47, the Council's priorities for 2018-22. Councillor Ives, would you please briefly introduce this recommendation?
Thank you, sir. I refer members to the report on page 47 of your agenda paper, which outlines the Council's priority for the years 2018 to 2022.
Thank you, Councillor Ives. Any questions of Councillor Ives? Councillor Ives, would you like to move the recommendations?
I move the recommendations, thank you.
Seconded, Councillor Arnold. You like to make your speech, Councillor Ives?
Thank you, sir. This council does a lot of positive things, and I do think that Rydell is better for having the council than it not being here, because it's easy to forget what we actually do. And so if you look at the priorities, we are ambitious, we are forward thinking, and we are moving forward. So I've got nothing further to add on the recommendation itself, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Arnold, a seconder. Reserve your right. Thank you. Okay. Any members? We'll open the floor for debate. Councillor Raper.
Very quickly, Chairman. Thank you. I'd just like to give a big thanks to our staff that's drawn together all this information for us that we had at PNR to make this decision upon. We're moving forward slowly, but at least we're moving forward. We seem to be losing the shackles that's holding us back, Chairman. So I'm fully in support of this.
Thank you, Councillor Raper. Anybody else wish to speak? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sure you'll be all disappointed that I haven't used the F word in a little while, but in the Council priorities under sustainable growth, we have as a priority, some priorities, capitalising on our culture, leisure and tourism opportunities and managing the environment. And I'd just like to point out that we are under considerable threat from industrialisation of Rydell, probably greater threat than we've had since the...
Sorry, Councillor Raper. Councillor Thornton speaking.
Please interrupt when they're speaking.
Thank you, Councillor
Thornton. We'd like to mention job opportunities, because I'm sure it's in there. We know from elsewhere that the job opportunities tend to evaporate within a couple of years of the starting of the industrialisation, leaving the mess and the stink, but actually greater poverty and greater unemployment. So I could add that to my little list of things just to warn Rydell Council that they have to be very aware of the risks that we face and the complete lack of community buy-in to this process. So I don't apologise for mentioning the fracking word again, but it just needs reminding from time to time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Thornton. Councillor Cowling.
Sorry, but I can't let that pass. If you want to see what mess and stink there is, you want to go down the little lane at Kirby Missbutton and see what a mess and a stink there is down there.
Okay. Councillor Cowling. Anybody else wish to speak before we move to the vote? Councillor Clark.
I have very little problem with the detailed numbers, but I have a lot of problem with the wrapping it up to make it look like something that it isn't, or something that it can't be. Passion. What on earth does that mean? So I have a look. We are passionate about our communities. Really, we call them customers. And the services we deliver. We're doing all the same services we were. Dog wardens, what's happened? No? Nobody knows? Ah, well. Sports officer, just before we set about drawing up a massive big contract with our sports things, made redundant. But we're passionate about it. No, we do our best and we work, and a lot of people, particularly the employees here, do a massive amount of work. But passion is probably not the right word. Respect. We value every individual, respecting people for who they are and for their unique knowledge, skills and experience. I'll go with that one. Openness. We are open and honest in our relationships and our communications. Really? How much did we pay as the initial contribution for iEasy? Oh yes, Councillor Cowling, you can't let that one go either. You told this council, and it's minuted, £1. And the chief executive told this council, in part of the openness and honesty, £5. And after only several months of digging and research, I found out that it was £5, and it was £1. Add them together, make £6,000. Now, that's not fair on the people that are here for us to be claiming that this is our policy and strategy of openness, etc. We will work as one organisation, but it's not defined. What's it mean? I'm quite happy with it as a, if you like, an aim or a part of a mission statement, but what's it mean? It's not defined. So on that basis, Chair, no, I won't be voting against it, because its heart's in the right place. But it's a very good presentation, and I never liked very good presentations. I was much more interested in what was done. And if we're not delivering our affordable housing, and we're not, and I won't use the F word because I'm too polite, we're not delivering in stopping that, etc., then we've a long way to go. And this could be taken as we've got there, and we haven't. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Anybody else wish to speak before we move to the vote? Councillor Farnell.
Thank you. Councillor Clark, passion, respect, openness, unity, divisive. They are our proud behaviours. We are passionate about our communities and the services we deliver. That is we as in staff and councillors as well. And I would think we are all passionate about certain things within the council and Rydale as a whole, but maybe not everything. Openness. We are open and honest in our relationships and our communities. Again, that's not just staff. It is all us councillors as well. And I really do think that honesty is the best policy and that we all should take a little more heed in doing that.
Thank you, Councillor Farnell. Anybody else? In which case, Councillor Ives, before we move to the vote.
Yes, just to come back to Councillor Thornton and a few things that Councillor Clark have referenced this evening. So I think they're almost against enterprise. So you've got Councillor Thornton who said that industry does not create jobs. And you've got Councillor Clark under the belief that people, the only people who can buy a home are those earning 40 or 50,000, which is just completely wrong. What this says to me is that the Liberals resent people who climb the ladder and resent people who create wealth and resent people who just get on and want to make a living in life. Instead, they believe that houses should be handed out and that people should not have to work. And that actually the best way to provide to those on low incomes is to improve the employment opportunities available. So that is a Liberal policy, but it is not the policy of this council.
Thank you, Councillor Ives. I'm going to move to the vote then on the recommendation.
It's 21 votes for, 1 vote against and 2 abstentions.
Thank you. So that is carried. Now move on to GDPR policy update on page 73. Councillor Ives, would you like to briefly introduce the recommendations, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So those who have seen the news over the past few days will see that privacy is actually a very important item at the moment, particularly as for those who watched the Facebook incident take place over the past few days. So the General Data Protection Regulation is a regulation coming from the European Union. And despite Brexit, it is something that all companies within the UK must comply with by the middle of March. Now, the scope and remit of the GDPR is absolutely huge, and it is something that we must take very seriously. One thing that does keep me awake as a member of this council is the possibility that at some point we could have a data breach. So we hold some really sensitive and personal information about our residents. So, for example, if you look in the housing unit, look at council tax benefits, some really sensitive information, and we must ensure we've got processes and systems in place to ensure, well, to protect our data. So we must be data conscious, and that's what GDPR is all about. So the report before us recommends a new policy, and that's what we are adopting this evening. But I think the message from this council should be absolutely clear, that we should be data conscious and take our obligations seriously.
Any questions of Councillor Ives? In which case, Councillor Ives, would you like to...
I move the recommendation.
Seconded, Councillor Arnold. Would you like to speak? Councillor Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. GDPR is something that is going to be quite onerous for small businesses and many, many organisations. And it's something that they are grappling with, and they will have to instil. It is actually law, and it's going to come in. And I would personally like to thank Pete for doing a member seminar on this particular issue, which was, I felt, absolutely intriguing. And it was so good that it really did put Ryedale councillors, members, I think, at ease, that we're absolutely on it. And I felt really confident that we would be moving forward, and it wouldn't be actually a burden to this council. So if I could say thank you very much, Pete, and thank you for the clips that you sent out as well, or what's come. I do feel that it's something that I could happily endorse, and I do think that we are in a really, really good, sound, solid position to move forward on this. So I will be supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Burr. Anybody else wish to speak? Councillor Clark.
As someone who has worked my way up the ladder from first buying my house at the age of 22, worked my way up the ladder, still working my way up the ladder after only 50 years more work on top of that. And I'm sure that in 50 years' time, I'll take the criticism, but not yet. Chair, I would like to thank Pete for his work on this item. I would also like to receive the copies of the slides at some point. But there is absolutely no rush whatsoever. But it would be nice to receive them.
And
oh yes, there is a rush. I'd need them by the end of the first week in May, because I'm not sure at what date in May he may be leaving.
I'm sure that can be sorted out for you, Councillor Clark.
I was actually speaking through you, Chair.
I think sufficient
will happen. The amendment we've got, and there's nothing absolutely wrong with this report at all. It's superb. It was fascinating the other evening, and it's brilliant. But the amendment is all updates to policy to be copied into all councillors as and when changes are made. Because it says above that that, you know, there's going to be discussions on, and that's all fine. But I think councillors should be kept informed as to what is happening with this, because it will take us a while to get a grasp of it, and I'm sure that some of us have got a good grasp of it now, and some of us haven't. But if we can be updated as it goes along, and I hope with a little bit of luck that might be a non-controversial amendment, but I never know. Did I nearly kill you?
Just got my knee.
Oh, don't even knee, that's all right. I've got one at the other side.
So let me be clear, Councillor Clark. The proposed amendment proposed by yourself, seconded by Councillor Potter, is to add a subset 3, which is all updates to policy to be copied to all councillors as and when changes are made.
That is correct, Chair.
Okay.
By email.
Would you like to speak to your amendment, Councillor Clark?
Only incredibly briefly, Chair. Thank you to Councillor Ives, through him, for his misrepresentation of the Liberals. But apart from that, no, fine.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Potter? No. Anybody like to, speak on this amendment? Councillor Cowling, then Councillor Burr.
I think this amendment is another display of the systemic lack of trust that exists from some members in this council. I think it's absolutely pointless.
Thank you, Councillor Cowling. Councillor Burr.
Well, I totally disagree with that, Councillor Cowling, because it's not pointless. It's a really, really important subject for this council. And we as councillors, we have got to be on top of this. So it's not controversial. You know, it just can quickly be whacked out on email. So why not support it?
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak to the amendment? Councillor Clark, before we move to the vote, anything you'd like to add? Councillor Potter seconded.
And happy just to sit there, in which case I've no need to sum up at all, other than apart from Councillor Cowling's sideswipe that it's a lack of trust. And I just leave you with the thought, Chair, I wonder why that is.
Thank you, Councillor
Clark. £1.
Councillor Ives, as the proposer of the original motion, anything to say before we move to vote on the amendment?
Thank you. So I've got nothing against the amendment in principle. I think the problem is, though, that there's a lot of very important things that this council does, and if members are to be updated on absolutely everything, is what we could apply it to. And therefore, I think the best approach is that if members have specific questions, if they want further information, absolutely, officers always provide that, and they always provide it in a very good timescale. But if we start doing this every time a new policy comes out, then the administration could become quite cumbersome. So I think it's probably best that members ask for updates on an ad hoc basis, and if officers see it necessary, of course, they can distribute information to members.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll take the vote on the amendment, which is to add a subset 3, which reads all updates to policy to be copied in to all councillors as and when changes are made.
8 votes for, 14 votes against, 2 abstentions.
Okay, so the amendment is defeated. Anybody else wish to speak on that? Sorry, I've got the microphone right all night until now. So we'll straight to the vote on the recommendation then.
23 votes for, no votes against, 1 abstention.
Thank you. So the recommendation is carried. Brings us to agenda item 10. If members can just please bear with us. Council needs to consider the appointment of representative to the Harrison Collection Trust. Are there any nominations? Councillor Ives.
Thank you. I nominate Councillor Steve Arnold.
Seconded by Councillor Farnell. Any other nominations? Councillor Thornton.
Sorry, Chair, I should have declared an interest at the start of the meeting. I'm actually a trustee of the Harrison Collection Trust.
Thank you for telling us now, Councillor Thornton. Councillor Clark.
Yes, Chair, I wish to propose Councillor Potter.
Do we have a seconder for that, please? Councillor Thornton, thank you. Any further nominations? Okay, I'm going to take this straight to the vote.
Seems to be some concern that Councillor Arnold thinks that a trustee shouldn't be allowed to vote.
I wanted to know if that was possible within being a trustee.
If it is, then I'm quite happy to second as an alternative.
Okay, so we have a seconder for the proposal for Councillor Potter.
Chair. Right. I'm just wondering if Councillor Thornton doesn't declare a prejudicial interest, what is the problem in seconding or voting for? I mean, I don't mind.
I'm sorry, Councillor. I'm not sure. I'd need to check with the monitoring officer.
Can you check them, Chair? Because there's been an aspersion.
No, I'm sorry. The question's been asked. Sorry, I'm advised by the monitoring officer that it's a non-pecuniary or prejudicial interest, therefore that Councillor Thornton is perfectly at home to. So, it is Councillor Potter...
On that basis, Chair, could we have the mutterings and mumblings of Councillor Arnold withdrawn? Because they're not exactly supportive in the unity and passion and openness and everything else we have in this lot.
Thank you, Councillor Clark.
Withdrawn, please?
I am very happy for the record to show that Councillor Potter was proposed by yourself and seconded by Councillor Thornton, and that is right and proper.
Thank you, Chairman, for letting me speak. Well, I would just ask a very question. Was that allowed? And rather than make a mountain out of a molehill, it was just a very simple question. I have no objections whatsoever to who seconds. I just wondered, with him declaring an interest, if it was allowed. And that was all it was, no mountain out of a molehill.
Thank you, Councillor Arnold, which is why I took advice from the monitoring officer and have relayed his advice back to you. So, we'll move to a vote. We have a proposal for Councillor Arnold and a proposal for Councillor Potter. We'll do it on plus and minus. As Councillor Arnold is first alphabetically, plus will be Councillor Arnold and minus will be Councillor Potter. Are we all voted?
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's 20 votes for Councillor Arnold and 4 votes for Councillor Potter.
Congratulations, Councillor Arnold. You are the representative to the Harrison Collection Trust. Item agenda 11, urgent business. There is no urgent business. Before we finish this evening, I would just like to reiterate on behalf of all the thanks to the members of staff, the senior officers who've produced the reports for tonight. I know it's been a hard work, some tremendous work being done. And I think as we all leave here, maybe we should all reflect on the great job that the people that work here do, and we ought to tell people that that is what they do and be a little bit more positive sometimes about what happens down at Rydale House. So I'll close the meeting on those words. Thank you.